to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Sports Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. William D. Morgan. I have a caller and special guest on the line right now. Nick, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
How you doing today, my friend?
Fantastic.
Good to hear, man. Good to hear. You guys can do exactly what Nick just did. 706-993-4606 is that number for you guys to call into the show. Should have Gene from Cleveland calling in just a second. I know he wanted to get on tonight. Talk a little
bit. Yeah, Cleveland rocks, all right.
Hey, they ain't lose.
They rock so much that they tied this past weekend.
They tied. They ain't lose, but, you know.
Sure didn't win either.
And they didn't. They didn't. Gene, how you doing, man? You with me?
Hey, what's up, Will?
What's up, man? What's going on with you, man?
Cleveland rocks.
Denver rocks.
They do. They won.
Is that Nick?
Yep, it's Nick.
You know it is.
What's going on, Nick?
What's up, Gene?
Hey, you know I'm not particularly too fond of Cleveland right now. At least the Browns. Everything else, I'm Cleveland. Yes, yes, yes. But, you know, wasn't that a disaster yesterday?
For both teams, absolutely. It wasn't one-sided.
Yeah, it was just, I don't know. It was kind of, I'm watching the Raiders game right now, actually, and they're looking pretty damn decent.
Marshawn Lynch.
Surprisingly.
Marshawn Lynch already got that big touchdown run.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Beast Mode is back.
For 1 week. For one week. I gotta say, man, week one was crazy.
Crazy day. Say. It was a crazy day.
Crazy day for football.
Yes, it was.
Crazy day.
Yes, it was. In the contest earlier tonight, the New York Jets defeat the Detroit Lions 48-17. Good Lord.
Detroit. No one even could have predicted that.
Detroit just gets shellacked.
At home. At home.
Yes. They were at the dome getting shellacked. Sam Darnold, 2 touchdown passes. And that Jets defense causing turnover after turnover. Really?
Isaiah Crowell ran 62 yarder.
Yep.
That
crazy.
And that was because in Cleveland he could. I think his average game was what, 4 yards a carry. Yeah. I mean he. I mean they've made Isaiah Crowell look like he's a top 5 running back.
Seriously.
They did.
62-yard run. Crazy.
A couple of injuries I wanted to go over very, very quickly. Patriots got a running back out for the year. I don't know if you remember. I don't know if you guys remember him. Jeremy Hill, who played for the Bengals last year. He's out for the year. Yep. Had an injury. He's out for the year. Delanie Walker has been rumored to be out for the year as well.
That was a gruesome injury. I watched that live. That was awful.
Mm.
Anytime you see someone's guy just the ankle just starts maneuvering away that you're not used to seeing, you knew that was bad. And the air cast came out, like everything was just man, feel bad for Delanie Walker. He's a really consistent tight end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That really hurts really, really bad. Matter of fact, he is out for the season now that I see here.
Yeah.
I look a little
bit
more into him. He's out for the season. Dang, man.
Yeah. Dislocated ankle.
Yeah.
Of course, I'd be out for the season too if I dislocated my ankle.
Aaron Rodgers, his availability is in doubt to face the Vikings coming up.
So, Gene, your boy Aaron Rodgers pulled off Paul Pierce last night.
Man, he pulled off a miracle to be 20 down, to go in the locker room, and you can tell that injury. It bothered him more than what it looked like on TV. I presume, and I think he went in the locker room and they said, "Look, you're 20 down, and you got Deshaun Kaiser leading your team." He said, "What?" He said, "Give me some cortisone right now."
Exactly. We can't let
Mr. No Check Down himself lead that team. You got to remember, he came from Cleveland, so they don't check down up there.
Damn.
At the end of the day,
they got you throwing shade at former quarterback,
but you know what? What, Nick? Was that goldish?
Oh man, yeah, it sure was. Remind us how Aaron Rodgers is that good, but it also reminded us how bad that offense is without him.
Yeah.
So, that yes. said, like yes. that just reminds us it's just not it's just a system thing. It is an Aaron Rodgers thing.
But
versus
I'm saying,
a Patriots system where it's like you could probably put any other quarterback in there and still be like decent. Like I'm not gonna say Tom Brady's your average quarterback, but it is more about the system than it is about Aaron Rodgers being great for the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, totally.
So yeah.
Oh, totally.
If anything, that's what I saw last night. I mean, the Bears defense was on them early. Mitch Trubisky came out and just came out guns blazing. He didn't miss a pass for first quarter. I don't think he missed a pass. So, I mean, they looked good, but all in all, they ran out of flames and Packers just came back. And I picked the Packers for my survival league. So, thank God Aaron Rodgers fine. They took the win.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not putting as much stock in as some other folks are putting stock into it because it's the freaking Bears.
Listen, the Bears defense, I think, was real last year. And they didn't even have Khalil Mack. And they didn't have Roquan Smith, who's from Georgia, and I really think he'll make an impact on the team later on in the year. I really think this Bears defense is going to be one of the top ones in the league. I could be overstepping my boundary because it is Chicago Bears, and they revamped their whole receiving core and all that. But they came out good last night. Allen Robinson even looked nice.
He did.
If it wasn't for Mitch Trubisky missing him on a fade around the end zone, it would have been an easy touchdown for Allen Robinson. There were some miscues last night for Chicago Bears, but I think all in all, they have a good nucleus of young, talented guys on both sides of the ball, and they could surprise some folks.
Mm-hmm.
One thing
they Chicago. And the Khalil Mack, obviously, when they first got, the first quarter and a half of the game, he dominated. Once they made some adjustments, they slowed him up just a little bit, but that definitely helps that defense because you have to pay so much attention to Khalil Mack now.
Dude, Khalil Mack didn't even practice with the team. He barely had he didn't have any preseason at all with the team.
Yep.
And he already made an impact.
Yep. Yep. Sure did.
Already made an impact.
Sure did.
And yeah. And where they have him at? They had him at tight end or defensive end, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when he was with the Raiders, he went both. They go to a base 4-3 and he goes linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sometimes pop out at DN. And I think they found him. I mean, I don't even think they've got him all the way immaculated to the system yet. This guy's going to do some big things over in Chicago. It just changed the complexity of that team if Mitch Trubisky can get the offense rolling.
Here's the thing that kills me, though, with Green Bay. You gave Aaron Rodgers all that money, but he still
that
needs a defense.
Is suspect still.
He needs a defense. That defense is terrible. It's terrible.
Defense has always been suspect under Aaron Rodgers.
Always.
Like helm. Always.
Always. He needs a
always been suspect.
He needs a defense. He needs a better run game too.
Yeah, but here's the deal.
Jamal Lewis stuffed last night.
Oh, he's tough. Jamal Williams was real tough. I think, well, he only had like stuff 50 last yards. Night, he had maybe 50 yards. You talking about the Green Bay's running back?
Yeah.
Yeah, he getting stuck.
Yeah, yeah. He only had like 50. He touched it a few times. But you got, but think about this. They opened the season up against a division rival.
That is true.
And to me, that's you know, you got to see him early. You got to see Aaron Rodgers at his best. These guys were up 20-0. 20-0. And this guy single-handedly picked him apart. And they scored 3 points when he came back.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm.
That's
more on the offense, obviously.
Yes, that's more Aaron Rodgers. Almost 2 for 300. 3 TDs. You know, a couple sacks there he had. But for the most part, division rival.
Pop burned them, too, in the second half. 75 yards score in that game. I was like, man, I saw that line. I'm like, dang.
But that
Randall Cobb's the juice.
Randall Cobb turned it all the way up. I thought Randall Cobb was extra special.
Yep.
Last night. He was extra special last night.
He's extra special, he said last night.
Extra special. 9 catches for 142 yards.
I like him better.
Longest one.
I like him better than Allen Hurns.
I don't know. There's a lot of Week One outlier performances, man. Like,
I like
this
him.
Week,
I like
Randall
him.
Cobb was definitely one of them. Like, I'm just like, there's so many Week One outliers.
I like him. Man. I like him a lot better than Allen Hurns. Allen Hurns is trash. He's trash. He's trash. Tell me, you how the hell, man? They could have. We're gonna go over all the scores in a second. But the thing that got me about that game yesterday, you saw just how pathetic those receivers were. They couldn't get any separation. Only one that can get separation was Cole Beasley.
I didn't really watch much of that game.
I
watched towards the end of it, because it was starting to get really interesting at the end. But I mean Dallas. I mean, we talked about that, you know, several weeks ago. That when we talked about, you know, with Dez Bryant leaving, Jason Witten, all the targets leaving, who's going to really step up? But Michael Gallup wasn't even like the rookie they drafted wasn't even really like targeted like that in the game.
Mm-mm.
So I mean, it just kind of I wondered what the game plan was for Dallas. Like, and Zeke was really bottled up.
Yeah,
you know, 15 rushes. He scored a touchdown late at the end, but other than that, he was really bottled up by that Carolina defense.
Yeah, he was.
And we knew that was going to be the game plan going in for them. But yeah, otherwise, there's really no scoring threat, receiving threat for Dallas, really. Cole Beasley, because he works the slot.
Yep.
He'll get open a few times. But other than that, it's like, who else do you really got? You have to really reassess everything after only week one. Probably not. But if that trend continues, then you have to be like, all right, we're going to need to do something.
Because if you look at Cole caught the ball 7 times. That was his main target yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, there's no drop when you lose the other receiver. You know, the free agent they let go.
You didn't say that. He refuses to say his name. He refuses to say.
When you let the other receiver go, it kind of. The guy that was trying to get with the Cleveland Browns. Sometimes it just slips my mind. You know, but other than that, but other than that,
geez,
he didn't.
The disrespect.
Oh my goodness.
There you go.
Damn.
They don't have another go to option.
They
you know,
don't.
Deontay Towson, I mean, he's not. I mean, 3 catches. They're in big trouble.
And this great tight end that Skip Bayless keeps talking about, what Rico Gathers.
Mm-hmm.
He did nothing yesterday.
Yo, Rico Gathers got all this hype.
Yeah.
How? This guy doesn't do anything.
Nope. No.
Who?
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 Rico Gavin? Who? Rico who? Rico Suave.
Right. I wish they would get off of Dak. I wish they would get off of Dak, too. I thought Dak, he had an 81 quarterback rating yesterday. You know, or you know, 23, I'm sorry.
I think the whole offense as a whole just looked lost. It looked really lost.
Yes.
And right now, I was shocked that wasn't more of a Zeke game. I was sort of kind of shocked by that. But then again, before Luke Kuechly went out the game, he was balling. Luke was balling.
Yo, Luke was balling like crazy. So yeah. I hope he's okay. Yeah, man, he looked This should look bad.
Yep.
I think it's gonna be. I think it'd be all right now. But
this
should look bad. Yep. This should look really bad.
And they also,
I can't imagine a Luke Kuechly defense without it. Like a Luke Kuechly, I can't imagine a defense without Luke Kuechly. I'm not sure what that would look like, especially with Thomas Davis out for another three games.
Yep, and that secondary being what it is, if Dallas had any receivers to take advantage of that, they possibly would have had a chance yesterday. Possibly.
Well, yeah, they scored late. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
An opportunity.
Yeah.
But Carolina sealed it up.
Let's go over the scores.
Sealed it up for them.
Let's go over some of these scores from week one in the NFL in case someone missed anything. The Philadelphia Eagles beat the Atlanta Falcons 18-12. The Miami Dolphins defeat the Tennessee Titans 27-20. Get real soon, Delaney Walker. I had him on a few of my fantasy teams. I hope he gets well soon. The Vikings hand Jimmy G his first loss, 24-16. Jimmy G.
All that hype. We'll talk about that.
All that hype. The Patriots defeat the Texans 27-20. Bucks beat my Saints 48-40. Jaguars defeat the Giants 20-15. Bengals defeat the Colts 34-23. Steelers and Browns tie at 21. Gene's favorite receiver, Josh Gordon, gets into the end zone. And now there's reports that he wasn't even supposed to be in the game.
That's what they were saying. They were saying that I don't know if it was the miscommunication between Haley and Coach Hugh or whatever, but when we did our fantasy, they did have Callaway starting.
Then the next thing you know, 20 snaps.
Well, they were on a minute restriction with Josh Gordon. But as the later reports had started coming out, they were saying, "Hey, he's looking to see more time." And then they were supposed to scoot Callaway once Josh came in at receiver. They were supposed to scoot him the kick returner, punt returner, or something like that. And he did go there. But he never returned as a receiver. I think they gave Rashard Higgins a throw or two.
Yeah, I saw him too. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, so I was like, wait a minute, what are they doing? So I don't know from what we didn't know. Maybe there was some inner workings there that maybe, you know, he wasn't supposed to start. But this is also a sign to me that the coach's days in Cleveland are about numbers. You know, when they start, if that's the case where the offense coordinator, which that's who I'm presumably putting Josh Gordon in the lineup like that, you know, giving it the okay. Those are signs that he's on his way out the door.
Could be possibly on his way out.
How do you know it's not the other way around? How do you know if it wasn't Todd Haley trying to hold Josh Gordon out? You know what I'm saying? So I mean, I don't even know. I mean, we don't really know, and somebody probably know more, but...
How do you miss that field goal?
Because it makes no sense for a brand-new offense coordinator to come into that system and take one of the best, you know, what we think is one of the better receivers over Callaway, which is Callaway is a pretty athletic guy, and I think he can get the job done if he steps in and they do get in the ball. But the only problem with yesterday is you got offensive line problems.
The
weather played a part, but early on it wasn't raining as bad.
That's true.
And you know, and the line was breaking down. Tyrod never got to set his feet. He had trouble staying within the guards to make plays. He ended the game the leading rusher, so that tells you a lot about him having to scramble a lot.
Tyrod's game though. I mean, let's be real. That's just Tyrod's game. It's never been a quarterback to really be sitting in the pocket like that, trying to rip apart defense.
I have to just...
He's always going to try to move the defense around. He's going to be scrambling around. I think it's.
I have to disagree. I have to disagree. Let's go back to in Buffalo. In Buffalo, I thought he stayed in the pocket a lot more.
Really?
And only ran when he had to.
No.
In Cleveland, he was running every snap. They had another head report out today says Baker Mayfield is waiting in the trenches, basically. And he had a horrible game. I said, are they kidding me? A broke down offensive line, bad weather, bad play calling, and this is what you do to Tyrod? If they get him out of there.
There's some people that definitely want to see just Baker Mayfield play versus, like, watch Tyrod play.
Right.
Some people think, have a real weird view on Tyrod, which is why I don't understand. Is that because Tyrod Taylor still is not like a quarterback that can't play anymore, or it's not like he's a guy that's like he'd ride your bench. I still say Tyrod is my starting quarterback today.
ain't no doubt.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like he's like a scrub or something like that. No, he'd go out.
No,
and go out. So,
yeah. He's not a franchise guy, but he's not no bench warmer. No, this guy can play the game. You see the experience in him. It was times versus the Deshaun Kizer from last year where he holds onto the ball no matter what and gets sacked and take losses where Tyrod was, hey, I'm throwing it out, getting out of bounds, I'm making the right moves. I think a few of those first downs that they got were because of him. So he extended plays very well. This is the guy to go with for now. I just don't know what they got to do about this offensive line. They've been tweaked it for the last 4 or 5 years.
And they don't have Joe Thomas this year, man, and that's really the kicker.
Yeah.
Well, they picked up.
Even with Joe Thomas, I mean, yeah, they had their faults, but Joe Thomas is always going to be that solid left tackle that quarterbacks always need.
He was, but they picked up this guy from Pittsburgh and paid him all this money. He's supposed to be just as good. Just as great, and they all know shows. Shredder and Batonio. That was horrible. It was horrible.
Let's face it, though, because both those teams had an opportunity to win the game.
Yep.
And I think Big Ben Roethlisberger, I've said it before, said it again, this guy's home road splits are worse by any quarterback probably in the league right now.
We talked about
because
that.
Ben Roethlisberger's been great at home. When he gets on the road, I'm not sure what it is. Like, I'm not sure if he doesn't have the right dinner, the right energy drink. Maybe he needs isotonic. I don't know, man. He needs something, man. Or, I mean, maybe he needs to get laid more on the road. I don't know, man. Like, maybe his wife needs to come with him. I don't know.
I suggest.com.
I'm not sure what it is, that guy on the road. But, man, I performed well on the road all the time. Maybe he's just not putting up points outside the football field. So.
And you know the thing that gets me about Big Ben, the thing that gets me when he said maybe it's just a comfort thing. You know, you get home, you used to your surroundings, you used to your routine type of deal, and when you go on the road, that kind of gets upset ever so slightly, and I don't know, but he's terrible on the road. That's why I can't get him for fantasy. Hell no. Can't have him for fantasy. No. No. He can't be your starter. He can't be your starter. You better off with Case Keenum. Then you will be with Big Ben.
Yeah, from Denver.
What happens in Denver stays in Denver.
Yep.
Rest of the score.
According to Nick. There's a lot going on in Denver.
A lot going on in Denver, bro.
Get to the rest of the scores.
They want to know. What's Cleveland's record again?
0-0-1.
Which Cleveland?
Your record, bro?
Cleveland. Like, well, that's not my team.
Bro? Who did you pick up?
Hey, the Cleveland Browns, they are my team. I was there for 25 years. Faithful, loyal fan, but now... I had to move on after Baker Mayfield pick.
Who did you pick up anyway for your team? Who did you pick
Sam
up?
Sam Darnold lit it up tonight.
Sam Darnold's been playing what, he ended up with a 200 yard?
Mm-hmm. A couple of touchdowns?
He looked solid, especially coming to a situation where he basically didn't have a competition at quarterback because they kind of lost everybody and injury.
They traded away Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater. I think McCown's still there.
Yeah, McCown's still there, but, you know, he's going to be more of a mentor.
He's a veteran.
He's a veteran.
We knew the situation.
Yeah.
We
knew what that was.
All what happened tonight, though, for the Jets was defensively they raved havoc on Stafford. And this unit doesn't get talked about enough defensively. Leonard Williams there in the middle, like, this unit doesn't get talked about enough because they just really go under radar, and it's because they're the New York Jets. Just like we were talking about the Chicago Bears, I predicted the Jets to make the wild card this year. You know, it's only because I really think that defense has talent, and Ty Bowles, I think, finally has the pieces that he really needs and wants to really establish what he wanted to run.
Right.
Remember, he was the defensive coordinator for the Arizona Cardinals a few years back when they really wrecked.
Right. He was.
Matthew, when he had Patrick Peterson, when he had, you know, all these guys, like, you know, running all these blitz schemes.
Yep.
So I have to look back at the tape because I was commuting back to my home, you know, during that game to look at what, you know, what really was effective on Stafford, because Stafford's not no slouch quarterback. You know, and for you to throw 4 interceptions, Stafford, at home, something had to, you know, I have to look at the tape, like I said again, you know, but...
Well, I'll tell you,
you saw on tape that, like, you know, that Stafford does like to do when you took away.
Yeah, but he threw 4 interceptions, he passed the ball 46 times.
Oh, yeah, no running game, you know that.
No running game, and it got predictable.
And they picked up LeGarrette Blount. So you mean to tell me you passed 46? You're playing 46 touchdowns. And not only that. And not only that.
LeGarrette Blount had -3 yards tonight.
And not only that. Look at the rest of the backs on that roster. They're deep at running back.
We got Jerrion Johnson in there.
Yeah, they're deep at running back.
So you're a real running back.
They're deep at running back.
They like Theo Riddick. They like this Riddick guy.
I don't know why
they like Riddick, man. I really don't. He's no more. Riddick is no more than a change of pace back. Somebody who can catch the ball at the backfield. Somebody who can catch the ball at the backfield.
He's a peasant.
That's it. That's all. And don't get me started on Abdullah. Don't even get me started on him.
Oh, we're not even talking about him. That's it. Nope. He should be cut. That's it. The only thing I'll say about Abdullah. Next.
Oh, man. The Ravens defeat Buffalo Bills 47-3. Michael Crabtree came out with a return to prominence with a TD yesterday. The Chiefs. Defeat the Chargers. The Chiefs pissed me off yesterday, though. Kareem Hunt did absolutely nothing, and they still won.
Let's go back to the Ravens for a second, because they played a lowly Buffalo Bills team.
That's going
to
be the worst team in football, y'all.
Lowly is probably not the word for Buffalo Bills right now.
That's going to be the worst team in football.
It's like when you walk into the club, you know what I'm saying, with your homies and everything, and then you see that, you see your, you know, you see a acquaintance guy you see every once in a while, and he's by himself, and it's like, you know, he's not getting any girls, so he tries to join your crowd, and it's like, we don't want you around us right now. That's how I felt about the Ravens-Bills game yesterday, like when the Ravens were just pounding on the Buffalo Bills, like, Buffalo had no type of answer whatsoever, couldn't fight back whatsoever. And I'm sure Kelvin Benjamin is missing Cam Newton right now.
Oh, yeah. And then on top of all that, you think Alex Collins would get all that run. And he did just have a touchdown yesterday.
He fumbled and just got benched.
Yeah, Kenneth Dixon came in there, got 13 good carries yesterday. So keep an eye out for him, Week 2 Fantasy. Kenneth Dixon.
He got hurt.
He got hurt, too. Okay.
He got hurt, man. He's out for a while. Now Javaris Allen's going to be the backup.
Buck Allen. All
Alex Collins.
Buck Allen. Dang, he comes around again.
They have to lean on Alex Collins now, so.
Chiefs defeat the Chargers 38-28. And it just made me upset because I got Kareem Hunt on my fantasy team, and he did absolutely nothing yesterday.
He was terrible.
He was 49 yards rushing. Pathetic. The Redskins defeat the Cardinals 24-6.
Chiefs Chargers was an interesting type of ball game, offensive shootout. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes, man, like he was one of those guys that I thought I didn't know what was going to happen for him, like because like, Alex Smith, he was like top five in the league last year when it came to deep ball throws.
Right.
Didn't know how Patrick Mahomes was going to pull that off, but the kid looked great in Week One. And Tyreek Hill, the god, because
yep.
I'll call him the god right now because. I played against him two leagues this week, and he crushed me single-handedly. Mm. So, Tyreek Hill, the god. Like, for real, like, this guy lit it up. Like, this guy can run. This guy can catch. He even threw the ball.
Yep.
This guy can do it all. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy. Like, Tyreek Hill. He took one back to the house on a punt return. Like, sorry.
That's the man right there.
That was crazy. I'm like, you know.
One of the league's more explosive players, for sure. Redskins defeat the Cardinals 24-6. AP had a return back in time. He put himself in the DeLorean and went back in time to when he was actually good. That's exactly what he did yesterday. Gene, did you get a chance to watch that game?
Which one? Atlanta?
Redskins and Cardinals.
Redskins.
Yeah, I watched that game from here on out.
I didn't get a chance to watch it. Nope.
AP.
I got a chance to watch the game. I was around a bunch of Redskins fans yesterday.
AP showed out yesterday.
I watched that game, and Alex Smith, man, really, wow. You know, for Washington, you're trading for Alex Smith, and it's like, it's kind of the tail end of his career in a sense. You don't know how much juice he has left, really. Nope. And then you give him a contract extension, which I thought was really questionable. But you know what? You know, they brought in AP as well, and I think Adrian Peterson and Chris Thompson make a heck of a duo. Right?
Mm-hmm.
AP just, he had over 130 yards. You know what I'm saying?
I'm saying
130 yards.
Back in the time machine.
Chris Thompson catching everything in the backfield. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And Jordan Reed being perfect. Involved. Like, crazy, man.
Back in the time machine, man. That's what he did. He went right, he hopped into DeLorean. We're back in time.
Well, AP, from the looks of it, AP never lost a step.
Yeah.
I think he had time to keep his body in check, you know, with the time that he had off.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's all purpose. I mean, they're using him every kind of way. Threw to him a couple times. I think his long was like 35 yards on each catch. Adrian Peterson, the thing with him is I think he got one of the most raw deals that you could get in the situation that he had. He should have never been away from the game in the first place.
I agree there.
Anytime you discipline your own kid, it shouldn't be questioned, obviously. You know, people thought it was more than what it was or whatever, and people said this and people said that, but he should never have been away from the game.
I agree with
that. But it actually preserved him.
Right.
When you put a guy like Alex Smith, who got a tremendous amount of experience with Adrian Peterson, and then you got a role player in this Chris Thompson, and it's like it all worked together. It's like this is going to be a dangerous offensive set here over the next 5 or 6 weeks. We get to watch him. They're going to be pretty good. I think they're going to be pretty good.
And then Jordan Reed's finally healthy. I think that really fits everything and how it's going to go.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. I think Jordan Reed mm-hmm. really is going to make – he's that tight end that we know has raw talent like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He just needs to mm-hmm. stay healthy. And if he does, he's a top five tight end at the end of the year. Not only for real purposes, but fantasy purposes. So,
well, yeah,
you know, I'm hoping he'll stay healthy. A, he's from Connecticut, New London, Connecticut. Shout out. But yeah, like, just hoping Jordan Reed does stay healthy for not only the team's sake, but his sake, but fantasy sakes as well.
Panthers defeat the Cowboys 16-8. Hopefully.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And the Cardinals are awful.
Yes.
Sam Bradford was awful. Terrible. Like he needs to get benched.
Hopefully. Quickly. Hopefully.
And we're moving on.
Hopefully for the Panthers, Greg Olsen will come back and Luke Kuechly will come back as well. We spoke about Luke earlier. hopefully those guys come back. Cowboys are in trouble. They're in trouble. That defense is decent, but that offense, if they're not running the ball 25, 30 times a game, or if teams put 8 in the box, they in trouble. They in trouble. And that's what I'll do. I'll put 8 in the box. Hey, Dak, throw. Just throw. Your receivers suck. Your tight ends suck. Throw.
Oh, yeah. Well, so but they digressed big time. They lost Witten. I mean, you lose that one receiver that they just got rid of.
Trade him to the Raiders, I think.
They lose him to...
I think they traded him to the Raiders.
Traded who to the Raiders?
They had a receiver they traded to the Raiders, I believe.
Traded who to the Raiders?
It was one of their receivers, one of their reserve receivers. I don't know if it would have made a difference yesterday, but they did trade to the Raiders.
Well, Oakland just got Brandon LaFell from Cincinnati.
I remember that.
That's their newest one. It's the newest receiver.
He stinks too. Uh oh, I got.
I think they heavily relying on Zeke, and you can't in this offense now. You can't rely on Zeke.
I got another phone.
Zeke is becoming a target. When they look at tape throughout the week, the most important thing is where is Ezekiel Elliott? This is what we need to do against him. But they just did a good job of pressing Dak Prescott yesterday. I think he's had more pressure yesterday than he had his whole time being in Dallas his previous year.
Yep. They bum rushed him yesterday.
Because they were on his ass like rain dance.
I about to bring you on, Big Tone. Big Tone, what's up, man?
I'm a little upset right now. Dallas lost. I'm happy.
For those who don't know or don't remember, Big Tone is a 49ers fan. So,
we lost to the best defense there is right now. So I can't front, even though he threw two interceptions and we had a fumble on the 2-yard line like some dumbasses.
Who has the best defense?
Minnesota.
Oh no,
Minnesota.
I think the Jaguars are a little bit better than him. And then I think the Chargers have the best D line in the business.
Nope. Oh hell no.
Correction.
Bro, you must be smoking some good shit. The D line on the Chargers is garbage. I'm gonna tell you that now. Great.
Even the Texans out of this conversation too?
I know.
Hold on. I said the Rams defensive line is probably the best in the business.
No. They're second. Minnesota's number one. I'm sorry. After what I watched all the games yesterday, Minnesota's number one. I'm sorry.
Wow, and did you count the Jaguars defense out?
Yeah. Wow. They're number actually in the whole league right now, as of yesterday, they're number three in the league. Behind Minnesota and the Rams.
I think a lot of people discount the Jags because of AJ Boye, which is a damn shame because he is a good corner.
No, we're not talking about as a defense in general. We're talking about like a front four, front seven.
Okay.
Yeah, we're talking about front four.
And I'd say Minnesota definitely number one.
Okay.
When it comes to that. When it comes to front seven, when it comes to pass rushing and all that, yeah. Total defense, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, Bouye and Ramsey at boundary corners. I really like as Jacksonville as the number one. I mean, the Rams could be a close second or third. Same thing with the Vikings. When it comes to total, I mean, you could kind of pick your... You could really just pick your,
it's
your
like,
defense.
Sense it's like 1A, 1B. Honestly. It's like 1A, 1B, and 1C. I mean...
Yeah.
You really can't go wrong.
For sure.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. And can you imagine if the Rams were...
Let's talk about these 49ers real quick.
They got smacked upside the head.
It's like they were hanging around,
Yeah, Jimmy G, see, this is my thing about it. And I critiqued him like it was no tomorrow.
Sure.
He threw those interceptions for no reason. He overthrew one. One of them he got away. He knew it. He threw those interceptions for no reason. got in the red zone, they could not convert. Plus, the
George Kittle dropped touchdown passes, man.
Yep.
Yeah. George Kittle dropped touchdown passes. I was upset.
That's why I was saying. It was unnecessary stuff that went on. They could have won that game, but unnecessary things that they let happen in the red zone screwed it. Other than that, I have to say, Richard Sherman and them boys, he's getting them boys in that secondary together.
Richard Sherman got burnt.
Richard Sherman's a non-factor.
You talking about that touchdown pass to Stephon Diggs?
He got torched.
He's getting that backfield together.
There's still rookies there trying to learn under him. He's getting them together. So it's going to take him a minute.
Sounds like a 49ers fan.
Are you guys talking about that touchdown pass to Stephon Diggs yesterday? Are you guys talking about that TD pass to Stephon Diggs yesterday?
Because that was a nice touchdown pass to Stephon Diggs yesterday. I'm a Niner fan, and that's always going to be. I'm always going to be one, regardless if they get their ass blown out or they lose by 20 or they lose by one. I'm going to be a Niner fan regardless, and I will.
If they win by 20,
if they're screwed up, I will let you know.
There you go.
So if they won by 20, that's a different story. I'm talking trash.
If they win by one, they're talking trash, too.
I'm talking trash regardless. It don't make a difference. I'm talking trash regardless.
I feel you, man.
Win, lose, or draw, I'll go talk trash.
I feel you,
especially
man.
Especially if Dallas lost. And you know I'm really going to have some fun with that shit.
Let's play a game, okay? Let's play a real game here. I'm going to name few teams right now, and it's week one, and we're going to call them contenders or pretenders.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Okay. So, team number one, Denver Broncos. Contenders or pretenders?
Pretenders. You got one special guy back there on defense who makes everything happen. Just call it what it is.
Why y'all gonna do that to Nick, man?
No, I want to hear this. This is actually pretty good because. Okay, go ahead. Continue.
You have a defensive playmaker. Case Keenum is a high volume passer. He's another one of these guys that want to throw the ball around. But you got Royce Freeman there, Philip Lindsay. I mean, Devontae Booker, who barely touched the ball.
Yep.
What else do you have in Denver?
Nothing.
Hold on. I take it back. I'm sorry, guys. I can answer that for myself. John Elway. Is that it?
To be fair, fellas, you represent Denver on this call because everyone said pretenders on here.
I didn't say that. I didn't get a chance to speak yet, Nick.
West.
Nick.
Why?
Nick. I didn't get a chance to speak yet, Nick.
Because Nick Wilcox will not let it go.
Nick Wilcox. He's putting out facts here. So Von Miller is the guy that runs it defensively. But you forget about Chris Harris Jr. Yeah, you can care about Courtney Roby. Those guys can defend in the secondary. Offensively, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, especially Emmanuel Sanders. Oh my gosh, if you didn't see him week one, I'm not sure what you were watching. But those guys, and I like Cortland Sutton, the rookie they drafted. I really like what Case Keenum can do with these guys. So, and we didn't even talk about Philip Lindsay. Didn't really get a chance to even see what this kid was all about. So, I think Denver all in all, I think they're contenders. I think they really are contenders, like legit contenders.
But
they're gonna have to contend
with KC. And the way KC played yesterday.
But KC has no defense. KC has no defense.
Don't matter.
Because once Patrick Mahomes gets stopped, they're done.
They're a contender because they're in the AFC. That's why they're a contender.
That's something to do with it too.
Yeah, that's why they're a contender.
They're doing it as well.
And I really think.
So let's talk about another team here.
Okay.
Carolina Panthers, contenders or pretenders?
Contenders.
Anytime you got Cam Newton, you're a contender.
Hey, Will, let me call you guys right back.
Okay.
Let me call you guys right back.
Okay. Do your thing, man.
All right. See you, bud.
I call them a contender.
Okay. And I agree. I mean, I think they're going to win. I think they'll win the NFC South. And I said that on record. I think it helps when the Saints and Falcons was this week.
Yeah.
That was my notion on that end.
Yeah.
I think even before the even season started, I think Cam Newton's finally got a few weapons he can get around. Yeah, Greg Olsen, he's missing him. That only allows for other guys to step up. You know, DJ Moore especially. I think I expect we'll expect more out that rookie later on the year.
I love DJ
Moore. And if Luke Kuechly's just fine, then defensively Carolina's going to be just fine.
I love DJ Moore.
You know, so I do too. I think he really has some upside. Big body receiver and way better than Devin Funchess.
Yeah. I'm still shocked that Dallas didn't pick him up when they had a chance. They had a chance to get him too.
Sure did. And they didn't. Bunch of choke artists. So Giants, contenders or pretenders?
I'm in the middle with them.
I am too.
Because I like what Saquon done yesterday. He was very productive at his position, but they have offensive line issues.
Yeah.
But you got Odell Beckham. He catching a couple passes there, but Eli just ain't got no time.
I agree.
So contenders or pretenders? You can't go middle.
Got to go middle on that one because I think it's going to get better. I think it's going to get a little bit better because they're savvy. And
plus, you can make an argument.
Like Wilson, but they're missing that defense that they've always had the last 5 years.
Right.
You know, and that kept them in games. So at the end of the day, I'm in the middle of the road with them being, because I think they can be effective, but they have to work out those kinks in that front line.
Plus, you can make an argument either way. You can make an argument for contender because you know one of those other teams in the NFC is going to fall off. You can visualize Seattle falling off. Look, I love Russell Wilson, don't get me wrong, but that defense is not what it used to be.
Nah, not what it used to be.
They're hurting in the run game.
Their secondary is already hurting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Earl Thomas is the god, though. Like, he didn't have any type of preseason. He held out until really last minute.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, first quarter, the first game, the season, interception.
And see, somebody...
He's a god, man. He's a god.
And see, the thing about it, somebody needs to take that spot. And I think... And Seattle didn't make the playoffs last year. But I think that someone can do it. If it won't be the 49ers... It may just be the Giants. Now, you can also say pretender.
Let's backtrack, because someone in that division has to win. It has to be pretty much, we're saying the Rams will be.
Well, the Rams will win that division. The Rams will win that division.
That's what we're guessing, I'm sure. Yeah.
The Rams will win that division, but you can't say for certain that the 49ers will go to the playoffs. You can't say for certain Seattle will go to the playoffs, and you know definitely.
No way, not in years past. Not since years past.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Seattle and San Francisco has fallen off in the last few years.
And you know Arizona ain't going, so those teams
gotta be. They're not in the conversation.
Right. So those teams have to be made up by replaced by other teams. And I'm just thinking, playing in that division, it's them and it's the Giants, it's the Eagles. Don't count Dallas. Don't count Washington, even though they are looking good. Somebody's got to take those spots. And I think the Giants will be, you can count them as a pretender to take one of those playoff spots.
So Cincinnati Bengals, contenders or pretenders?
Oh, God. That's
pretenders.
Listen,
Marv has been there too long. He can't win in the playoffs.
Nope.
They do very well in the regular season. Andy Dalton is above par.
Who? Dak Prescott? We know he sucks. Go
ahead. But listen, Cincinnati can't get out the first round.
Nope.
Cincinnati won't even make it.
this year they probably won't even touch the playoffs.
Nope.
No. Cleveland might, but no, I take that back. I'm the bullshit and leave no damn well Cleveland ain't gonna make that shit either.
Cleveland's gonna mess around here in the next couple weeks. The whole hype about Baker Mayfield is going to start. It's already starting. And they're going to put this guy in just like they did.
He's going to get his head. And they're going to get his head kicked off.
He is not ready.
So does that change if they beat the Ravens next week?
No. You know what it means? It means you should have took Donald. That's what it means.
Pretty much.
I keep telling people that.
We're not talking about Cleveland. We're talking about Cincinnati.
I keep telling people that.
I know. They should have took it, regardless. You see what he did tonight.
Cincinnati couldn't take him.
Yeah, they won. Cincinnati was in a position.
He makes an immediate impact. Just like Saquon Barkley. You could take him first. He makes an immediate impact. I believe, I've said this before.
You're talking about Cleveland.
He's talking about Cleveland.
Cincinnati making the post.
Right, he's talking about Cleveland.
Wait a minute. I'm talking about what could have been in Cleveland.
We're talking about Cincinnati.
I understand that. But I'm talking about
what it didn't happen.
What it should have happened, but it didn't. And Cincinnati, like I said, Marv Levy. He's been there too long. Can't get out the first round.
Marvin Lewis.
Marvin Lewis.
That boy that came out of retirement. He done came out of retirement, boy. Marvin Lewis.
You talking that shit again, ain't you?
Marvin Lewis. But here's my thing, though.
Marv Levy is a commentator. Marv Lewis.
Here's my thing,
Marv
though.
Marv Lewis, he's been there too long.
Way too
long.
Time
to go. They're pretenders.
Oh, man.
Way too long.
Nick, I know you're getting some get back on me because we talk about Denver a lot. And, you got them as your focal point, and you got Case Keenum as a quarterback and Von Miller on defense. And everything else is just, who are they? Oh, I forgot. You got John Elway.
Got amnesia problems again, bro.
You got John Elway.
We talked about both Denver and the Seahawks. The Broncos beat the Seahawks 27-24.
According to Nick Wilcox, Denver is going to the Super Bowl.
We doing one more team?
The playoffs.
What?
Not the Super Bowl. But one more team.
Okay.
Where you going, buddy?
One more team.
Ready to go?
Contenders or pretenders? Houston Texans.
You can't tell just yet.
Wow, that's your answer.
You can't tell your show.
I'll say contender.
I say contender too because of that defense.
I like Deshaun Watson.
I say contender because of that defense. If that defense can stay healthy, and that means J.J. Watt has to stay healthy. Tyrann Mathieu has to stay healthy. Javavion Conley have to stay healthy and really start to flourish. But I'll say contender because that defense got potential to be there.
I'm going to steer the direction towards pretender, and here's why. Could they make the playoffs? Sure. It's AFC.
Yep.
I'm just not buying the, Watson before injury was awesome. You know what I'm saying? And he was on a rate in which no NFL quarterback in his rookie year was on, the pace that he was on.
Right.
I think he's due for a sophomore slump. If Will Fuller plays this week, week two, and they find some rhythm with that, then okay, that's cool. But I just don't. I'm just not in love with as Watson is with versus other people. Now, I think Watson's gonna have a decent season. I just don't think Houston's gonna make that much pop, man. Like, we'll see what happens. I'm still on the pretender in them for right now.
Broncos defeat the Seahawks 27-20, 27-24, and the Packers defeat the Bears 24-23 in that great comeback victory by Aaron freaking Rodgers. I got a bone to pick with Stephen A. Smith, too, while we're talking about Aaron Rodgers. I got a bone to pick. Okay, here's my issue. You call Aaron Rodgers the best quarterback ever. But, and he only has one ring. But you say, but you, and I can't believe I'm taking up for him. But you say LeBron, who has less championships than Jordan, is not better than Jordan. But yet you say Aaron is better than Brady.
Greg, you got my laser pointer?
You get, you got to see what I'm getting at there.
Yeah, but, I mean, understand.
You can't use that comparison.
Understand that some of these,
you can't use that comparison. Everybody knows Jordan is better than the greatest ever played a game. Period. Even with LeBron.
Who?
Even with LeBron. Who?
Now he going with the who.
Wait, do you have owls in here? What's going on?
Are we talking again about this whole...
Look, I'm just saying.
Are you still not seeing what this guy is doing?
I'm just saying for the what Stephen A. Smith says. Stephen A. says... Aaron Rodgers is the bad man, but
and he has one ring.
But yet, when you look at his stance on LeBron, he says LeBron can't be better than Jordan because Jordan has six rings. He only has three. What the hell?
They want to lay it on rings. They can lay it on rings. I'm really not in that whole. Rings, because there's players who have more rings than Michael Jordan, who wasn't great players.
Right.
So I don't use the ring as a measuring stick. I use what he has with him during his playing time and what he's accomplished during that time.
But for the argument of saying...
Yeah, the rings thing is just... I mean, it's not something you just use in the argument as just, like, you have the more rings versus another player. I look at it on how you attain those rings.
But for the argument...
Versus in the impact you had on those rings.
Right.
Versus just the count. You know what I'm saying? It's not... Some people think when we bring up rings in a conversation... It's not just about, you know, like, oh, it's just not, because you're picking Jordan because he has more rings than LeBron. It's like, no. It's like, Jordan, you didn't watch how great this guy was and how clutch he was in those moments. He never went that far in a series.
But
besides all that, he's going back to the Aaron Rodgers Brady thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's the same at all. Because it's like, I just feel, I mean, yeah, there's always, there's been Green Bay teams that they've established and they just haven't got there. They just haven't gotten there. Like, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback and all, but I don't even, and he can go down as one of the greater ones later on, but do we really call him a Hall of Famer today?
Nope.
I don't know. That question is still up in the air for me. It's up in the air for me. Versus Brady, where we know he's a bona fide Hall of Famer. Hate to say that, but he is. So, that being said, we're not even sure. I mean, don't get me wrong. Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback in our league right now and everything. I mean, he probably could go, you know, probably will go down to the Hall of Famer. I'm not saying he won't.
People say he's the best.
It's still kind of questionable for me right now. He only has one ring.
Yep.
He hasn't been that many playoffs. He hasn't been to that many playoffs consistently.
Nope.
I mean, you know, it could be fair to say that he's not in the Hall of Famer right now. So... Big Ben, Eli, has got more rings than him. And these guys are not exactly the best quarterbacks.
All right, right now we have a score update. The
He's
Raiders
tied with Joe Flacco for rings right now.
Yep.
Joe Flacco.
Yep.
Joe Flacco.
All right, we have a score update. The Raiders beating Rams 13-10.
Yeah.
In the third quarter. 9 minutes and 7 seconds left to go in the third.
Go Oakland.
Beast mode.
Go Oakland. Real quick. So I can talk smack to these, my boys, was a Rams fan.
Real quick. Did anything stick out on the college football side for you guys? Anything at all? Did anything stick out on the college football side of things this weekend?
I don't usually watch college football.
I mean,
well, it was not Alabama went in there and started defense, but other than that, what else is new?
Alabama's robots.
Clemson should have lost to A&M. I will say that. Yeah, Clemson should have lost to A&M. They should have lost to A&M. They really should have. They barely squeaked that thing out, 28-26. Questionable call toward the end of that game. They really should have. Man, look, if you're going to win it. But damn, I hate it when the refs play a part in it. Let particularly in the fourth quarter, let them play. You know, let them play. Don't screw a team out of a victory like that. All right. It is 12:14. Anybody got anything else they want to hit before we get out of here for the night?
I want to hear Nick Wilcox say that Denver is a Super Bowl team.
Good night, guys.
Oh, real quick, I do want
to. Hey, it's not my team. I really ain't concerned with them.
Right.
Real quick, I do want to.
All everything right. Cleveland doesn't want to claim is Browns.
Real quick,
can't claim them this year. Can't claim them. 25 years, probably.
Before we run,
you sound like a father like not claiming his kids for child support.
I don't know
about
that.
Damn.
Yeah, we don't know about that one.
Yeah.
That's
weird. That's
we don't know anything about that one.
Yeah,
I don't know about that one.
Real quick. I do want to get into the Serena Williams issue. I want everybody's opinion. Big Tom, I'll let you go first, followed by Janet and Nick.
She got cheated. That was some bullshit. They didn't want her to win because she's coming back from having her baby and having those complications. She wiped everybody's ass out when she gets there. She got it, and they're still pissed off about the cat suit from the French Open. Which, oh, God damn. We're going to go with that. But they just tried to play her out. They don't want her to beat anybody's records. They don't want a black woman to beat all the tennis records because the white folks got. They don't want it. So he fucked her.
What you think, Gene?
Some rules were broken. Number one golden rule: you can't be coached. Now, was he coaching? He openly admitted it after the match.
He did.
After they interviewed him, openly admitted, said he was.
Mm.
But like the commentator said, she probably couldn't even see him.
Nope.
She probably didn't even see what he was doing. She just was always a natural thing is to look over at your coach wherever you think they're at. Second thing is this is not her first incident with the U.S. Open.
Right.
She had some prior incidents. Back in 2004, I believe, she had where she lost to Jennifer Capriati.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same type of deal.
The cat suit incident.
Yeah. That and then she had another one where they dismissed a line judge or something like that. She had an argument with that person. Here's my deal. I think when she threw the sexist part about because I'm a woman, you know, I don't think that's something you don't want to touch on. You know, you don't want to touch on and say, hey, this place is racist or sexist or whatever. Because I didn't see John McEnroe. I mean,
yep.
Cut him out from head to toe.
Yep.
That is true.
And never they took a game and a point away from her. Now that was wrong.
Yeah.
A game and a point because I want you to apologize to me for saying that I was cheating.
And you were. So she just caught you. So
and she broke the racket. You can't break the racket. Obviously that's
okay.
You know,
but
against the rules.
That's out of frustration. That's out of frustration, even though she knew.
Oh, yeah.
She knew that was going to happen, but that was out of frustration. Of
yep.
course,
if they were
like you're getting cheated, you're going to react.
Yeah, and I felt like she getting cheated. But the most important thing is this poor 20-year-old girl that she playing against feeling like, you know what, I really didn't win this. I really feel like they gave it to me.
You know what I mean?
And if,
but
he, if he
I understand,
got to stay outside, didn't they?
Basically. But I look at it too like this with Serena. Here's the deal. She's been in this game for a long time. I remember when she first started playing tennis, where it was rare that you have blacks playing at that high level,
mm-hmm.
to where they didn't even clap. They didn't
mm-hmm.
even clap, you know. So she's broke a lot of barriers, her and her sister, and they've came a long way. And I think she's just to the point where, like, are you kidding me? We're still going through this bull crap?
Exactly.
I think that's where she's at with, like, oh my God, I can't believe you would just even try that, you know. And I think that's what tipped over. Yeah, and she's emotional. She's very emotional.
Yep.
And I think she's being challenged. She's definitely being challenged. Because they don't do Venus like that. They just do Serena like that. Serena's always the one. You know what I mean? So I don't know if
they know Venus ain't gonna do shit, and she's not as high profile as her sister. Even though they both done the same thing, but Serena's more profile, high profile than Venus is.
But if I was her coach, I still wouldn't admit to that I was coaching.
Right.
Because from and I was watching that live, so. From the view of the camera, I'm sure how far, because you know that's pitted, so they're down stadium seating. You can't see too much. It looked like for real, he was giving her high fives. So I think they were looking for anything at that point. And once they got that, they just jumped all on it and they just pushed the envelope on that. But like I said, you know, she's broken a lot of barriers, and somebody has to be the one to help the next one in line. That's the way I look at it now, you know. So, but at the end of the day, but she did break her racket. She didn't berate him to the point where I felt like it deserved her to get a game took and a point. No. I felt like, you know, she did it once. He gave her a warning, and then she came back, and then she called him a thief. You know, now he's like, okay, enough's enough.
Right.
Yeah. All right, fellas, I got to get out of here.
Hey, appreciate you calling in, Big Tom.
I'll let you guys on Monday.
See you then, man. Thank you, man.
So what I felt about the Serena incident was that, you know, we had to bring in, I would look at it for a couple vantage points. One vantage point because of, like, the, you know, tennis is an older type of sport. We know this. And as far as, like, tradition and everything goes, you know, we've seen it with some of the other sports are starting to become a little bit more, like, lenient and everything, kind of letting players a little bit do a little bit of things out of ordinary and stuff like that, kind of being a little bit more relaxed. With tennis, you know what I'm saying, it's kind of like, you know, like the judge, you know, like the, you know, that one that calls the match, it's like you can't disrespect them, like, whatsoever or something like that, or you can't do any type of gesture, nothing like that. So Serena knows this, and, you know, like I was going to bring up the pass to the U.S. Open as well. She's had a checkered pass with that tournament. So when I heard it was at the U.S. Open, she did all this. I'm like, I'm not surprised that happened. Now, should she have got a game taken away? No. A point? Yeah. Because the what she was doing was, you know, borderline, like we were saying, breaking the rules. You know, so it's like, you know, should a game been taken away? I don't think so. I think, though, all in all, how the backlash of this incident, though, and how it makes, you know, some of the people in our communities get riled up, is not exactly just, because now it's like tennis. Oh, tennis is not a woman's sport, or it's a, black people can't be playing tennis, or da da da. It's like, no, it's like not, doesn't really have to go that far.
Right.
But yeah, someone at some point needs to break, you know, needs to come up in that same sport again to kind of make so that the stereotypes don't continue to keep on happening. And yeah, we all know Serena is the emotional one of the two, and the more high profile, so they're going to look to put her in positions to, you know, get her off her game emotionally too. So, that being said, I mean, all in all, point is this, you know, Serena knew better, you know, and she knows better. Mentally, she knows better. She knows people are always going to try to get after her, no matter where she's at or circumstances or situation that she's in. You know, so it's like, even though you're frustrated of how all the stuff keeps on happening to you, sure. But remember, you're always setting an example. Remember, you're kind of representing us in the tennis world. And you know, it's like when they get to you like that, like what happened at the U.S. Open, it kind of is like, you know, now you're trying to make it seem one way or another, or it's like, because I'm a woman, I'm a woman. It's like, but no, you've been dealing with this the last 20 years. you're the one that started breaking up all these barriers for us. And now it's almost like you're trying to play victim. It's like, come on, don't reverse engine. Don't go backward. Like, no, just move forward. It's like, I had a bad moment on the court. You know, it happens to all of us as athletes. And should I have gotten a game and took it away? No. But that was a ruling. And I'm going to come out next time. And I'm going to take the championship next time. And it's like, you live to play for another day. It's like, don't try to be all this victim stuff, whatever. I just had a kid and stuff like that and make up all these excuses. That's weird. High powered athlete like that making all these excuses? Come on. That's all I gotta say. I mean, you know, athletes can definitely be like babies sometimes, but don't make all these excuses and stuff like that, whatever. Because of something that happened in the game.
Right, because she dramatized it a little bit towards the after the game got taken away. It was you know, she just started going on and on, and she's crying, and then when the game was finally over, the match was finally over, they're on the podium, and the Japanese girl or whatever she is, she's accepting the trophy, but she's making her feel bad all at the same time. She's crying like, oh my God, what did I do? And she's just sitting there like, I have nothing to do with none of this, and it's her time. It ain't Serena's time. It was her time. All right. And I think Serena pushed the envelope. She just went up there, you know, trying to console her. Like, it's okay. It's okay. The way she handled that during that, the trophy presentation was like.
Like, sore loser.
Yeah, well, it was more or less like she was hugging her, like, you know, I'm going to take the brunt of this. You just keep playing. You're going to be good. You've got years ahead of you. You know, let me handle this. And the girl's like, gee whiz. I mean, you just made me feel like crap. You know, because they don't want to bring racism or sexism. Because that's a big stage. The U.S. Open is a big tournament. And they don't want to overshadow. Because that guy, what was that? The not the line judge. What is he, a chair? The chair had a perfect resume when it came to that. Perfect. So they're not going to throw this guy under the bus.
You guys there?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. You guys dipped on me for a minute. You guys dipped on me for a sec. All right. My issue on it, Serena, you got to know better. You're in a sport to where you have to know better. Let your talent, your natural talent, shine through. You can't act like that. You can't give them a reason to get on you like that. You play your game, you go out there, you win. That's the best way for you to handle that. You gave them a reason yesterday or day before yesterday. Now, since we passed the 12 o'clock hour, you gave them that reason to get all this hate that you've been getting, all these characters that I think you posted on it too, Gene, all these comics or whatnot down in Australia making fun, making light of the situation, which neither one of us appreciate, that's for sure. She can't do this. She has to be, you know, she has to get over that. Don't let the ego get in the way. Don't give them a reason to hate. Go out there and win with your natural talent, and she'll be fine. So that's my take on it there. I wish it never would have happened. It did. Didn't serve anybody any good. Hopefully her next few tournaments, she'll go ahead and win those and get this out of her system, put this whole incident behind her. Talk on it. Was one more thing. Catch all the fine. By the way, guys, catch all the fine shows we have going on here on Rant Ian Radio. Tomorrow night we have the Shining Wizards at 7, followed by the Rant at 9 p.m. And then after that, on Thursday, we have Turnbuckle Throwbacks at 9 p.m. on Thursday nights. And then it'll be this fine show once again, the Sports Report, at 11:15 p.m. Eastern. Nick, for Gene for Big Tone, who called in tonight. I want to thank you guys for joining me. I do appreciate it. Anything else you want to get out there, guys? Any Twitter, any YouTube, anything like that?
Nope, we're good.
Instagram, Nick.Wilcox_. The Facebook, The Sports Breakdown with Nicholas Wilcox. Shout-outs to my people. You know, so that being said, looking forward to more football upcoming. You know, basketball season's right around the corner.
Sure.
Is that a shout-out to your Denver fans?
Yeah.
Nope, just shout-out to my people. Shout-out to all our followers.
Just the people. Just the people.
Yeah.
All right.
Man, not everything has to do with Denver, Gene. Like,
just some things.
According to Nick Wilcox, it does.
My gosh.
Always good, Nick. Always good.
Or is Cleveland playing Denver this year?
I have no clue. I'll look at the schedule because I'm a fan of football, but I'm really not too concerned about those two teams.
Von Miller jersey, man.
We'll be all right. Oh, yeah. I got you. I like Von Miller. I mean, that's the bright spot of the Denver Broncos right now. And let's not forget John Elway.
There you go.
Can't forget about John Elway.
There you go. There you go.
Yep. Okay, Nick. Okay, Will. See you guys.
All right, guys. Y'all take it easy. I'll see you next week.
Take care. Yep. Yes, sir.